Good morning. All you dear, dear people who are exhausted today. What a blessing this church was yesterday. I was so amazed when I came in yesterday. I couldn't believe it. I could not believe all the baked goods. And so many people here to work. It was truly a blessing yesterday. Now I have a letter from Joanne. I thought I'd read parts of it to you. Dear friends, I cannot begin to tell you how much I appreciate your cards and prayers. I miss you, dear folks, so much and pray for you every day. I have experienced many new insights throughout all of this ordeal. I'm reading this last paragraph. Keep praying. Read your Bible. And don't stop looking for God in your everyday experiences. He is closer than you can imagine. Love and blessings, Joanne. This is an announcement for... join us for a Christmas tradition, ladies, Christmas evening, featuring the Fenville High School Chamber Choir. This is from the Fenville United Methodist Church. They do this every year, have a ladies' Christmas evening. And if you'd like to go, and get tickets, there's a number to get the tickets for. I'll leave this here in case you're interested. It's really a nice, nice evening, isn't it, Barb? Know how many for? So I'll leave that right up there. All right, please remember to sign the register pad in your pew. Today is the last day to order Christmas poinsettias, and there's an order blank in your bulletin. And praise God, there are a few men here today. I wonder what the men, do they realize what they have to do today? They have to take those tables back next door. So praise that all you men came today. And we certainly do thank everybody who helped make our bazaar a success. There are sign-up sheets in the back table because we need these kind of people to help with our service. Ushers, liturgists, coffee bar people that will make coffee. So do we have any joys or concerns? Rick?
I have a joy and a concern. Terry had her first dip replaced on Thursday. The operation went well. It was only half an hour after that. Recovery is going to be a little longer. So she is at home, does have some pain, but she is getting up about every hour. She's walking, getting around. So it'll be a slow recovery, but she'll be fine. Her next surgery will probably be sometime in February.
Well, let's ring the bell. Now, if you stand for the call to worship, if you're able. Let us prepare for the coming of the Lord. Let's be diligent, faithful to the end. Let's continue with the opening prayer. O God, you have set before us the great hope that your kingdom shall come to earth, and taught us to pray for its coming. Help us to look for the signs of its drawing and to work for that perfect day when your will shall be done on earth as it is in heaven. We ask in the name of Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Now we'll sing Angels on the Realm of Glory 220.
To share sometimes just something that's going on with me. Have any of you done any work looking at your family tree? Has anybody done that? It can be kind of fun and interesting. And I discovered, I don't know very much about my mother's side of the family very far back. Her maiden name was Clark, a pretty common name. But I was tracing her, Grandpa Clark's family back and, on this particular website. And I discovered he originally came from Tennessee. That explains the little southern drawl that I have. Kidding. I'm kidding. And I discovered there's a cemetery where a lot of his family, which would be my family, is buried in Tennessee, and it's called the Clark Mountain Cemetery. There are a lot of Clark folk buried at that cemetery. And on the website Find a Grave, if you've done any research, you're familiar with that. And there was a picture of one individual from, I don't remember the exact dates, but around the time of the Civil War. And he's got the biggest pistol I've ever seen in my life. He's holding it like this, you know, and he's got his thumb up like that. And he has a uniform on. And I said to Mary, I said, I can't decide whether that's a Confederate uniform or a Union uniform, but being that it was in Tennessee, I think it was Confederate. I don't know. But anyway, it's kind of interesting. And here's the thing that really, really struck me. I was looking at, on this website, if you make a change in the information or add information to it, your name goes there, and if you're registered with the website, it will tell your relationship to the person. And I discovered the person was my 32nd cousin. So I don't know how distant that is, but I think all of you might be related to me too after seeing that. You might be my 54th cousin, I don't know. But it's fun. And interesting. I want to invite you now to a time of prayer, and we want to remember Sherry and Joanne and those on our prayer list and those that we are carrying in our hearts this morning in our prayers. We'll start with silent prayer, short pastoral prayer. We'll share the Lord's Prayer together, and then we'll sing from the hymnal, the chorus, His Name is Wonderful. Let's be in an attitude of prayer. Lord God, we thank you for this day. We thank you for this opportunity for worship. We thank you for those that have gathered here with us this morning. We pray that you would visit us with your presence in a special way as we offer to you our praise and our gratitude for your goodness and your love. We're thankful for this Christmas season as we remember the coming of your Son into our world and into our hearts. We pray that as we prepare for Christmas Day, we might be reminded anew that He came for a purpose, and that purpose was your great love for us and to redeem us and restore us into a right relationship with you. We pray that our worship this morning would be pleasing in your sight, and that it would honor you and the Savior that we worship this morning. Thank you for so many good gifts that we have received. We thank you for our families. Thank you for our friends. We thank you for that measure of health and strength that we experience in our lives each day. Thank you for those opportunities that come for us to work and serve and help and share with others. We thank you for your Son. We thank you for the gift of your Spirit. We thank you for your Word. We thank you for the example of our brothers and sisters of what it means to be a believer in Jesus. And pray that you would help us to be an example as well, and that our lives would be more and more in harmony with your Word and with your will. We confess that we have done that which is wrong and not always done the good we should do. We ask for forgiveness, empowerment from your Spirit. We offer prayers for hurting people. We pray for our world. We pray for the cause of peace in our world. We offer prayers for our nation and our leaders. We pray that your will and way would prevail in our government and in our nation, in our communities, in our church, in our homes, in our families, in our lives. We offer prayers for those that are on our prayer list, and we remember Sherry and Joanne and pray for your healing and others who are in need of that healing as well. We offer prayers for this church and this gathering this morning, and we pray that you would bless the churches in our community and that you would bless this church and help us together to share your love and draw people to your Son, Jesus. Hear us now, we ask, as we offer the prayer your Son taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen.
Scripture reading this morning is Philippians 2, 1-11, found on page 185 of your pew Bible. So if there is any encouragement in Christ, any incentive of love, any participation in the Spirit, any affection and sympathy, complete my joy by being of the same mind, having the same love, being in full accord and of one mind. Do nothing from selfishness or conceit, but in humility count others better than yourselves. Let each of you look not only to his own interests, but also to the interests of others. Have this in mind among yourselves, which is yours in Christ Jesus, who though he was in the form of God, did not count equity with God a thing to be grasped, but emptied himself, taking the form of a servant, being born in the likeness of men. And being found in human form, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even death on a cross. Therefore God has highly exalted him and bestowed on him the name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. The word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God.
This time we will share in our healing prayer. Let's be in attitude of prayer together, please. Dear Lord, comfort and heal all those who suffer in body, mind, and spirit. Give them courage and hope in their trouble, and bring them the joy of your salvation. This morning we pray for Lord, in your mercy. This time our ushers will wait upon us and we'll receive our offering. God, it's our prayer that you would bless all that we offer to you this day. Use these gifts and us, we pray, in your service and to your honor and glory. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
And now we'll sing number 242, Love Came Down at Christmas.
Scripture this morning before the sermon is Matthew's Gospel, chapter 2, 1 through 12, and verse 16. all the gospel writers present Jesus from a little bit different perspective. Luke presents Jesus as a man, a human being. Mark presents Jesus as a servant, a suffering servant. John presents Jesus as the Son of God. And Matthew, in his gospel, presents Jesus as a king. Here is the reading this morning from Matthew, beginning in chapter 2, verse 1. Now, when Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea, in the days of Herod the king, behold, wise men from the east came to Jerusalem, saying, "Where is he who has been born king of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east and have come to worship him." When Herod the king heard this, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him. And assembling all the chief priests and scribes of the people, he inquired of them where the Christ was to be born. And they told him, "In Bethlehem of Judea, for so it is written by the prophet, 'And you, O Bethlehem, in the land of Judea, are by no means the least among the rulers of Judah, for from you shall come a ruler who will govern my people Israel.'" Then Herod summoned the wise men secretly and ascertained from them what time the star appeared. And he sent them to Bethlehem, saying, "Go and search diligently for the child, and when you have found him, bring me word, that I too may come and worship him." When they heard the king, they went their way, and lo, the star which had been in the east went before them, till it came to rest over the place where the child was. When they saw the star, they rejoiced exceedingly with great joy. And going into the house, they saw the child with Mary his mother, and they fell down and worshipped him. And then, opening their treasure, they offered him gifts, gold and frankincense and myrrh. And being warned in a dream not to return to Herod, they departed in their own country another way. And verse 16. Then Herod, when he saw that he had been tricked by the wise men, was in a furious rage, and he sent and killed all the male children in Bethlehem and all that region who were 2 years old or under, according to the time which he had ascertained from the wise men. Heavenly Father, it's our prayer. Speak to us anew through your word and through your messenger. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. So I've been asking people this question this morning, and so far I have not received an answer. So I'm going to ask and just see if anyone knows the answer. Now the question is, who was the, see if I can remember how I worded it now, for the parade, the Grand Marshal, yeah. Does anybody know who it was? Nobody knows. Now, huh? I read in the paper online when I was looking for the time of the parade, because I didn't want to get caught in the crowd around the parade. I read that it was the mayor of Whoville, but I could be wrong. Does that sound right? Well, I thought it fit in well with my introduction to my message. Thank you for that resounding affirmation. I appreciate it. There are a lot of classics around Christmas time, the Christmas Carol. There's the certain movies, but probably one classic that's more recent, but yet I think it has become a classic, is the story of the Grinch who stole Christmas. Are you familiar with that story? If you have kids, and even if you don't have kids, you probably know the story, but I want to refresh your memory just a little bit this morning. It goes a bit like this. Every who down in Whoville liked Christmas a lot, but the Grinch, who lived just north of Whoville, did not. Why, you ask? Perhaps, said Dr. Seuss, it could be that his head wasn't screwed on quite right. It could be, perhaps, that his shoes were too tight. But I think the most likely reason of all may have been that his heart was two sizes too small. Now, the story, of course, is really how the Grinch didn't steal Christmas at all. He stole the tree, the gifts, the food, the stockings, the lights, and the greenery. He took the popcorn, the plums, and every last drop of Whoo pudding. By the time the Grinch returned to his wickedly lonely home on top of the mountain overlooking Whoville, all he left behind was the snow, a few hooks on the wall, a speck of food so small even the Whoville mouse turned up his nose at it. But much to his surprise, the Grinch left one thing behind. He somehow, some way, left Christmas in Whoville. When the good folks of the village woke up on Christmas morning, they joined hands in the street. They sang the songs of Christmas as if it didn't matter that the gifts were gone, that the food was missing, and the decorations had been stolen. High on the mountain fortress, it puzzled the Grinch to no end to realize that despite all his work, despite all his evil intent, he hadn't stolen Christmas at all. He had simply missed it. Dr. Seuss penned it, and the church and the Grinch, with his Grinch feet ice cold in the snow, stood puzzling and puzzling. How could it be so? It came without ribbons, it came without tags, it came without packages, boxes, or bags. And he puzzled 3 hours till his puzzler was sore. And the Grinch thought of something he hadn't before. Maybe Christmas, he thought, doesn't come in a store. Maybe Christmas, perhaps, means a bit more. And what happened then? Well, in Whoville, they say that the Grinch's small heart grew 3 times its size that day. And the minute his heart didn't quite feel so tight, he whizzed with his load through the bright morning light, and he brought back the toys, the food, and the feast. And he himself, the Grinch, carved the roast beef. It's a good story. And it captures, in Dr. Seuss's way, Christmas. And it really, I don't know if you realize it or not, it really is a reminder of that first Christmas. Because there was a Grinch-like person in that first Christmas. And that was the king, King Herod. One of the things in that story that amazes me so much is when the wise men came and said, "We've come looking for a newborn king." The king himself was not expecting anything. He consulted with the ones that knew the scriptures. And there it was. In Bethlehem, there would come a ruler. And so he sent them on their way. But in his heart, you know, a baby, I don't care whose baby it is, a baby is a source of great joy, great happiness. And yet, we're told in the scriptures that the king was troubled. And because the king was troubled, all of Jerusalem was troubled because of the birth of a king. And he was, Herod was an old man by this time. He had few years to live, few years to be king, and he felt threatened by this little baby born in Bethlehem. And so he decided that he would do something. We're told in our scripture that the wise men were warned in a dream not to return the way they came. And so they went without consulting Herod, without telling him where exactly the child was. And so, in order to ease himself, in order to be as callous a person as he possibly could be, he gave the order for all the children, 2 years and younger, in Bethlehem and the surrounding area to be killed. We hear that story, and because it's Christmas, we tend to kind of gloss over it. It's a terrible story. And we wonder how anyone could be that bad. There are people who have lived in recent times even that were just as bad as Herod. And they did atrocious things to innocent people. The reason Christ came into the world was to redeem us and to save us. Some people have compared the reaction of Herod to the reaction of the shepherds. They both received news that a king was to be born without really much warning. Herod, of course, received word when the shepherds or the wise men arrived, but the wise men had noticed a star in the sky and done their research and determined that a king was to be born. But they acted differently. Herod was fearful. The shepherds came, and they worshipped the Christ child as they presented their gifts. Herod, on the other hand, sought to destroy the Christ child. His reaction is hard for us to understand. Herod had the scriptures to guide him. He had advisors. But it did not seem to make a difference for him. King Herod's reaction was to send others in his place. He had no intention to worship the Christ. He missed the first Christmas. He missed the meaning of Christmas. And I think sometimes, this is a preacher in me, I guess, I think sometimes it's easy for us to get caught up in all that's going on and miss the Christ of Christmas. And I would suggest 3 steps to finding and receiving the Christ of Christmas. The first step is all of us need the salvation that he brings. And the reason we need this is, as unpopular as this might be, we have all sinned. We have all done that which is wrong, and we have fallen short of God's standard for goodness. And so the first step is simply to recognize our need. The second step is to realize that we cannot save ourselves. We cannot be good enough. We cannot, in our own merit or power, restore our relationship to God. The third step is that only Christ can save us. He, the little boy who was born in Bethlehem, would grow up to be a man and die on the cross for us and in our place. I spent some time this morning looking at the Christmas ornaments. I wanted to see if there was somewhere in there a cross. Now, I didn't see a cross. Is there a cross in there? Sometime we need to have an ornament on there that has a cross on it, because that's part of the reason. That is the reason he came. And then the fourth step is simply to accept Christ. When we confess, when we admit that we have sinned, and turn to him as our Savior and ask for forgiveness, he comes into our hearts and lives and restores that relationship between us and God. I think it was Campus Crusade for Christ that used to have the little illustration about a bridge between us and God, and that bridge being broken, and there's no way for us on our side to reach God. And when Christ came and died on the cross, he became that bridge that separated us from God and restored the relationship. Jesus came for lots of reasons, but his main mission is to restore our relationship with God so that we can offer our prayers to him and experience his love and grace in our lives. And the sad thing in the story of the other king, the King Herod, was that was there for him, and he refused it. I'm reminded of another scripture that's in the book of Philippians, where Paul says, the day is coming that every knee will bow and every tongue will confess that Jesus is Lord and King. And the truth is, it's much better to give him the throne of our hearts and lives today than to wait until that day when everyone will have to make that confession. Heavenly Father, we thank you that Christmas is not in stores. It's not even under the Christmas tree. It's not in the gifts we receive or give, but it is in the Christ whose birth we celebrate. Thank you that Jesus came into our world and that he has come into our lives. And help us as we celebrate Christmas to celebrate that truth. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Our order of service for communion, a portion of that order is found on page 12 at the front of your hymnal. These are the words of invitation. Christ our Lord invites us to his table all who love him, who earnestly repent of their sin, and seek to live in peace with one another. Therefore, let us confess our sin before God and one another. Pray together. Merciful God, we confess that we have not loved you with our whole heart. We have failed to be an obedient church. We have not done your will. We have broken your law. We have rebelled against your love. We have not loved our neighbors, and we have not heard the cry of the needy. Forgive us, we pray. Free us for joyful obedience through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Now we can pray silently, asking for God's forgiveness in our lives. Hear the good news. Christ died for us while we were yet sinners. And that proves God's love towards us. In the name of Jesus Christ, you are forgiven.
In the name of Jesus Christ, you are forgiven.
Glory to God. Amen. That last night that Jesus was with his disciples in the upper room, we sometimes call it the Last Supper, Jesus shared a meal with them. And in the course of that meal, he broke bread and he gave it to them and he told them to eat, that it was his body that was given for them. And then later in the meal, they shared a cup of wine together. And he passed the wine in the cup, and he said to them, "This is my blood, which is shed for you and for many for the remission of sin." And his words to the Apostle Paul were that we should do this as oft as we would in remembrance of him. Heavenly Father, it's our prayer that as we receive these elements of bread and grape juice, in a spiritual sense, they would represent for us Christ's death on the cross. And in receiving them, that we might receive Christ anew into our hearts and lives, and the forgiveness that he offers to us, and the restoration of our relationship to you. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. I'd like to invite those who are helping to serve to come forward now.
Thank you.
invite you to stand as we sing our last song this morning. It's number 240, Hark the Herald Angels Sing. Let's share the benediction together as it's printed in our bulletin. Grant us, O Lord, that which we have said with our lips, we may believe in our hearts, and what we believe in our hearts, we may practice in our lives. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.